There's a new report out about how much Uber and Lyft are contributing to the amount of traffic on our roads, especially in major cities like Chicago. We found an article on this at streetsblog.com focusing on New York City. But generally, Uber and trends here. Ben Fried is the editor at streetsblog.com, the editor-in-chief, and he's with us this morning. Ben, good morning. Thanks for getting up with us and being on with the opening bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
When I saw this story, my eyes literally bulged out of my head because I think a lot of people, I think that perhaps Uber and Lyft are helping get cars off the road and get people, perhaps not owning their own cars. But some of the statistics here are pretty big. I guess give us the headline from this report and your reporting on this.
Yeah, like you said, the image that Uber and Lyft like to project is that they're a substitute for personal cars, and they're taking cars off the road. But what this study shows is that in big cities like Chicago and New York, they're mostly substituting for transit, not personal driving. And there's just no evidence that they are making car ownership any less prevalent in these cities. So what they're really doing is adding more traffic to the transportation systems of some of the biggest and most congested downtowns in the nation.
And the number of cars and the mileage here is what the reports are focused on. I mean, we're talking about, in some cases, a doubling or tripling of the number of cars, right? And then the other part of this is adding, millions of miles.
Right. It is adding in the millions of miles a day, billions a year annually. I wouldn't say it's doubling total traffic in city streets. What it is if you have a given set of trips that you are making with your own personal car, the trips that people are making with Uber and Lyft are equivalent to about 1.8 times that mileage. So it's like, if Uber and Lyft didn't exist, we would have about half the traffic that Uber and Lyft are generating themselves.
Yeah. So another way to put that is that your car would generally be in the garage during those times, and in this case, it would be out all of the time, in other words.
Yeah, the thing about Uber and Lyft is, in addition to mostly substituting for transit and not personal cars, there's this whole phase of the trip where no passenger is in the Uber car. The driver has to go and pick up fares, and for every 5 miles that they drive with a passenger, they're going 3 miles just waiting for a fare and then going to pick up that fare on average.
Is the Uber pool, are the pool services here helping at all reduce the numbers of trips?
A pool trip is better than an unpooled trip, but only a small share of the trips are pooled, about 20% now. And one of Schaller's interesting findings is that even if they meet their targets, which are like getting to 50% share trips within a few years, it's still going to be a net addition to traffic, compared to a scenario where we just didn't have Uber and Lyft.
We've been talking about cars here, but transit's another big part of this. I know New York, there have been lots of stories lately, too, in Chicago as well. The number of people using public transportation is down. People think they can get to work faster and in some cases cheaper by taking an Uber or Lyft into work. What are the long-term impacts on transit, public transit, from this study?
Yeah, well, long-term, Schaller says... Schaller says we need to basically take action now to avoid these effects from snowballing. You don't want to have a long-term abandonment of transit because that just makes the whole system work worse for everyone. His prescription isn't necessarily to, crack down on Uber and Lyft. It's to make your transit better. So, more bus lanes on the street, run more frequent bus service, really invest in your transit network so that people see it as a attractive alternative, they want to take the transit service because it's so good, Schaller says that's the way forward as opposed to specifically cracking down on Uber and Lyft. He's very careful to say that they do have a role in the transportation system, you know, like taxis before them. But we really need to be mindful about, you know, providing good transit service that people want to take.
Are there other things, too, besides, you know, improving public transportation? Are we talking about perhaps doing congestion pricing? Is there some restrictions on perhaps allowing some of these cars, Uber and Lyft cars, into, you know, the congested downtown areas, certain city center areas? What are the other solutions?
Yeah, congestion pricing makes a lot of sense for a city like Chicago, for a city like New York, where these cars really tend to accumulate in the downtown. And it's really, it's more of a downtown problem than a problem throughout the city. There's a mismatch because where Uber and Lyft can really do the most good is in the farther out neighborhoods where transit is sparser. And, you know, these services can be helpful supplements to the transit system. But where people, where the Uber and Lyft drivers end up circulating and cruising for fares is in the crowded downtown, and that's where you really don't want more car traffic. So if you can use congestion pricing to sort of thin out traffic in general, and especially Uber and Lyft, and sort of push them out to the areas where they'd be needed most, that would be ideal.
Yeah, and it's not just the, you know, the city center areas that's seeing this. I mean, part of this report is that, you know, for smaller cities, Uber and Lyft might be a good thing. The problem we're talking about here is focused on the nine major metropolitan areas where most of these rides are happening. So this is a big city problem with these companies, right?
Yeah, exactly. In smaller cities, Uber and Lyft are basically fulfilling this need for a supplement to the transit system. But really, you know, most of the usage of Uber and Lyft are in these nine cities. 70% of all Uber and Lyft trips are in those big cities like New York, Chicago, L.A., Philly.
What has Uber, what have they said about this study, if anything? Have they responded at all?
They can test some of Schaller's findings. I think what they really want to avoid is some sort of cap on, you know, how big they can get. And, you know, that's the point of contention. And people who recognize that, who recognize Uber traffic as a problem, they don't necessarily agree on whether there should be this command and control response of capping or whether you should do everything with a price and just make it more expensive for them to cruise on the most congested streets in the city. But I think from Uber's perspective, they, at least in New York, have been pretty amenable to a congestion fee as long as it affects, you know, all traffic and not just Uber traffic. And what they have wanted to avoid is a limit on how many drivers they can have.
I guess it's smart to be part of the conversation now as opposed to reacting to some harsher reaction from these cities later on.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a lot of common grounds between Uber and, you know, the transit advocates and analysts who want congestion pricing. And that could be a coalition that works together and tries to make this pretty politically difficult policy solution happen in big American cities in a way that it has not happened yet.
So if I'm an Uber or Lyft customer and I'm getting into that car this morning and I'm concerned about the climate, climate change, that I have to take another second look at what I'm doing, don't I?
I would definitely, yeah, if you're concerned about the climate, you know, the bus and the train is still the way to go, or a bike if you can do that. And, you know, failing that, a share trip is always better than a solo trip. Yeah. And, yeah, I would say don't forget transit. Don't sleep on transit. Pay attention and advocate for better transit because that's how we're going to get the cities that we want and the climate that we want in the future.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question is, you know, what else can we do as customers, as commuters to have our voices heard and perhaps be part of this conversation?
Yeah, I mean, Uber and Lyft both, they've kind of been weaponizing their apps. They're, at least in New York, where there is some momentum to limit their services, they've been giving customers these alerts via the apps to kind of contact their council members. And I would just urge people to, you know, be informed and don't necessarily take the company's word for what the debate is, and really, you know, do your best to study up on the issue before advocating against a policy that really is intended to make the whole city's transportation system better.
Ben, we appreciate you being with us this morning. Great report at, again, streetsblog.org. We're going to link out to this. It's on the NYC blog. We'll link out to the story. And we appreciate you getting up and being with us this morning here on the Opening Bell.
Great. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Ben Fried is the editor-in-chief of streetsblog.com.